We are doing well this morning, doing well. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad in it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. We're ready for this evening.
Amen.
Try to get ready for this morning,
bud. I hear you. I hear you. Well, hey, look. We are ready for this.
Old favorites here this morning. Yeah, you got them.
I don't know. The Lord has given us some different directions, so we're going to listen to what he said for us to do this morning. Amen. Good morning, Sister Ruby. Good morning.
Good morning. How's everybody? Hey, Uncle John.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing quite well. You?
I'm fine. I'm fine. Ready. We ready.
All right. All right. I'm expecting my miracle.
we ready. You gonna stand with me this evening? You gonna stand with me?
I'm gonna stand with you. I'm gonna be praying for you. How go, Uncle John?
Yeah.
That's what I'm gonna be doing. I'm gonna be your biggest cheerleader.
Yeah, I need somebody to stand with me this evening.
Good morning, my sister. How are you?
Doing well, and yourself?
We are doing well this morning. Good to hear your voice.
Good news.
Yes. She's on the line this morning.
Happy birthday. I don't know if I said it earlier.
Yeah, she had a big birthday. She's still celebrating.
Thank you so much. I'm celebrating until the 31st of December, so I receive all blessings. I receive all cards, all money, whatever you want to do. You want to take me out to lunch, call me.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Al. Good to hear your voice this morning.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Good hearing you.
Yes. What an awesome time we had last week. You really helped your wife to prepare that message for last week. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you. I really didn't know it. I was just what came that the Lord gave to me to sing. And obviously that was, the icing on the cake that went well.
But amen.
Thank you for that.
So
yeah.
True. Amen. Yes. Good morning again. Just want to give you just some pre-announcements. I sent out a later text this morning asking that we keep Sister Mary Griggs in prayer. That is Sister Wanda's aunt, Sister Mary Griggs. Our scripture for that is Isaiah 53:4-5 for Sister Griggs. Please keep in mind we will partake in the Lord's Supper, the communion, Lord's communion on today, right after our sharing this morning. So we will participate in the Lord's Supper. The other announcement is this coming Tuesday, we are still looking at our sharing. We're going to do a review of Romans. I'm asking that each of you come on the line, if you would, and share what you receive from the study, from the book of Romans this coming Tuesday. And then we will have a prayer time as it pertains to what's going on in our country. We'll have a prayer time during that time, but we are going to open it up, allowing and asking you to please come and encourage Pastor Kuiper, encourage Pastor Reggie. He has been sharing for over 17 weeks, 17 weeks. There are 16 chapters in the book of Romans, and every week he showed up to share with us. And I want us to encourage him. Also, I'm going to send out his address that we can drop a card in the mail and share with him and let him know how appreciative we have been with him coming and sharing with us these last 17 weeks in the sharing, and plus a face-to-face that we had as well. So I want us to encourage him this coming Tuesday, and after that, we will have a time of prayer as well, a time of celebration as we look at what the Lord has done for us. Our lesson today, or our message scripture today, will come from Psalm 23 and John chapter 10. Psalms 23 and John chapter 10 this morning. So please have your Bibles out. May ask someone to read for me. Certainly feedback this morning as we look at a scripture that is one that we learned as children. If you were growing up in school during a period of time, you had to learn Psalms 23. If you were in church, you had to learn Psalms 23. And we have heard it over and over again. But I believe that there is a fuller revelation that God wants to speak to us as sheep, a part of his sheepfold, and him being our shepherd. There is a responsibility, I think, that he wants to speak to us about as sheep. But when we look and delve into this lesson this morning, I want us to see a deeper look at the role and responsibility of shepherds. Shepherds then and shepherds now in 2024. What the role and responsibility is and how we must be aligned to what God says do in caring for his sheep. So I'm speaking to leadership this morning. I'm speaking to those that are sheep in a flock, those that are members of a congregation, but most of all members of an organism called the church, an organism, a living organism, not so much an organization or a building, but a living organism, and what our role and responsibilities are as well. So again, I want to say good morning to each of you that are joining with us at the Gathering Place Beyond the Walls here on this beautiful November the 3rd, 2024, as we look at the shepherd, the good shepherd this morning. We've already mentioned our prayer concerns, Sister Mary Griggs, as well as others, our caregivers, Sister Ruby, Sister Gloria Brown, keeping Brother Jig in prayer, as as also we keep Brother Dudley in prayer, Brother Bill Dudley in prayer as well. Don't forget, mark your calendars for tonight. Uncle John Story will be our speaker. He will inspire us tonight from the Word of God, what God has given to him. So I'm asking you to please come out, join with us, invite others to come as we continue to walk through the Word. That's what this ministry is based upon, the Word of God. So again, I want to say good morning. I hope you can hear us. We are still having some technical difficulties we're seeing on Tuesdays, but if you see anything that you may hear or not hear us this morning, please send us a quick text message to let us know. So we're still working on whatever the issue may be. We are reaching out to AT&T to see what the problem may be as well. So again, let's get ready this morning. I am so glad to be with you this morning as a disciple of Christ, as a citizen of the kingdom of God. So let's get started this morning, opening with our scripture, Psalm 121. Then we will have our prayer by Sister Ruby. Then we will have the reading of our scripture by our sister this morning, Sister Wanda. She's going to take us to Psalms 23 this morning. Then she's going to take us over into John chapter 10, and she'll give you those verses this morning there in John chapter 10. Opening with Psalm 121 this morning, and it reads, And I'm reading from the Holman Christian Bible this morning. I raise my eyes towards the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. Your protector will not slumber. Indeed, the protector of Israel does not slumber or sleep. Verse 5. The Lord protects you. The Lord is a shelter right by your side. The sun will not strike you by day or the moon by night. Verse number 7. The Lord will protect you from all harm. He will protect your life. And our last verse in Psalms 121 this morning, the Lord will protect your coming and going, both now and forever. Understand this morning, we as disciples, we have a protector. The Lord is our protector. Good morning, Sister Ruby.
Our Father. Lord God, we come this morning saying thank you, Lord. Lord, we're so grateful that you watched over us as we slumbered and slept. But, Lord, you didn't stop there. You touched us this morning with your finger of love, and our eyes came open. Lord, we thank you that we have the use and activities of our limbs, God. Lord, we just thank you for this another day that we've never seen before. We come right now in the name of Jesus asking that you forgive us, God. Lord God, we ask that you create in us a clean, pure heart, Lord. Renew the right spirit within us, Lord God. Lord God, we come this morning inviting the Holy Spirit to come on in, Lord God. Move, Holy Spirit. Lord God, we are thanking you for the bereaved. We are thanking you for the sick and shut in. We thank you because there is life. And you said in your word that these things shall come. So, Lord, we're thanking you for everything. Lord, we thank you for Uncle John. We thank you for Mother Neal. We thank you for Sister Wembley, Lord God. Lord, we're asking right now a special blessing for Sister Deborah Singleton. Lord God, encamp your angels all around the Lord God. Bless her going, bless her coming. Enlarge her territory, Lord God. Lord, I speak blessings on every household that's represented on this line this morning. You know what we're standing in need of. Lord God, you know about Sister Wanda Aunt. You know about Pat Taylor, Lord God. And Lord God, you hear that everywhere, so we don't have to ask you to go because you're already there. We just ask that you breathe on us this morning. Holy Spirit, just breathe on us. And we'll be so able to give you all the glory, all the honor, because it all belongs to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now we will have the reading of our scripture this morning coming from our sister, Sister Wanda, today.
Good morning. I'll be reading Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close behind me, beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely in goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. And I'll be reading John chapter 10, verses 11 through 15, and it reads as follows. The good shepherd and his sheep. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheephole rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognizes his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrificed his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hands run away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. But the Lord had a blessing to read his word, John 10, verses 11 through 15.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, my sister, for reading those two passages of scripture, which we will look at this morning as it speaks to the characteristics, the attributes of a good shepherd. Thank you so much. Now we have our praise and worship by Brother Al. Brother Al, come on this morning.
Amen. Amen. Good morning again. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Oh, glory to his name. Singing glory to his name. Oh, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Oh, precious fountain that serves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name.
Yeah.
Singing glory to his name, precious name. Singing glory to his name, precious name. Oh, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Oh, singing glory. name, singing glory to his name, precious name. Oh, there to my heart were the blood applied. Glory to his name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Al. Thank you, Sister Wanda. Thank you, Sister Ruby. And I want to thank all of you that are joining with us this morning at the Gathering Place Beyond the Walls. As we look at the scripture, Psalm 23, the passage of scripture, and as we look at some of the verses in John chapter 10, as it speaks to us about the Good Shepherd, as we look at verses 11 through 15 there in John chapter 10. I have a question this morning. Is there anyone on the line that has never read Psalms 23? Is there anyone on the line who has never heard about Psalm 23? Amen. That lets me know that this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. Many times we hear this scripture provide or given to provide comfort to those that may be experiencing a challenge, may be experiencing a need for being comforted, to be reminded that if they have made the Romans 10, 9, and 10 sincere declaration and that they are connected to the true vine, John 15, Pastor Reggie, that they do have a shepherd. They have one that cares for them, one that protects them, one that provides for them. When we look at, even look at John chapter 10, it speaks to us about the Good Shepherd. It speaks to us about Jesus speaking about himself, sharing right there in that scripture. He says right there in verse number 11, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. So I wanted to kind of set a groundwork this morning before we get and dive into Psalms 23 this morning. And I'm going to really need your help. I'm going to ask if you would please turn to Ezekiel. Let's go over to the Old Testament this morning. I want us to go to Ezekiel chapter 34, Ezekiel chapter 34, and I want us to really specifically look at verses 11 through verse number 16. Ezekiel 34, verse starting with verse 11. And the reason why, Uncle John, I want to do this is I want to build on a foundation that speaks to us this morning. As citizens of the kingdom, as ambassadors for Christ, those that are born again, that we know that we have the Good Shepherd. The reason why they use the word Good Shepherd is that there are other shepherds out there, other hirelings that are out there that are not good shepherds. They don't take care of their sheep. If you read Ezekiel chapter 34, beginning with verse, starting with verse number 1, you see some chastisement that goes on, that how shepherds are being chastised by not taking care of the sheep. But when you get down to Ezekiel 34, looking at verse number 11, and I'm going to come back to each of us this morning as we look at what are the attributes, what are the characteristics, Pastor Reggie, of a good shepherd? What are the attributes of a good shepherd? Because as I look at these scriptures this morning from Ezekiel chapter 34, 11 through 16, we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. We're going to look at Acts chapter 20, verse 28. It sets the foundation for looking at a good shepherd. and what the characteristics and the attributes are of good shepherds. Do we have shepherds in our day and time now? Yes, we do. Here in the U.S., there are those that may own or have sheep, and they care for them. They are shepherding them. They are caring for them. They are tending for them. So when we look at it even closer, we have under-shepherds, Pastor Reggie, in our assemblies or in our churches. We have one that's called, some are called various names. They have names such as bishop, elders, pastors, but they are considered under-shepherds. They have been placed to a responsible role to care for the sheep, to care for the flock, to care for God's people. Keep in mind what I just said, God's people. So when we go to Ezekiel chapter 34, looking at verse number 11, I want us to get a good idea of what a good shepherd is. Mother Deal, it's so important for us to understand in 2024 and beyond, what are the characteristics, what are the attributes based on the word of God of a good shepherd, a good shepherd. Here's what it says in Ezekiel 34, beginning with verse number 11, Sister Wanda. Here's what it says. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search and find my sheep. That's a characteristic of a shepherd, Pastor Reggie, that he goes on a search and rescue mission for a sheep that may get lost. Oh, here's something else. Verse 12. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. A good shepherd, you all, a good shepherd in the physical who takes care of sheep, when one gets lost, he leaves the 99 and go looking for the one that's gotten lost. Yes, you can see that comparison as it moves into our church environments, our assembly environments, that we bring in members. People are added to our roles on one Sunday in January, but where are they in March? Where are they in April? It's the shepherd shepherding the flock. It's when one is not there, you haven't seen them in a couple of Sundays, are you going to see and go and check on them and find out what's going on? Let's keep reading here. So a shepherd, a good shepherd, Minister Braxton, goes on a search and rescue mission when he finds or she finds that a sheep is missing. Verse 12, I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. Notice what it says. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. Is it possible in our assemblies, in our churches, in our buildings, that some of our sheep have gotten out, that they've been nibbling on that sweet grass, and they have gone back into the world, gone back to some of those things that they have been delivered from? And so what the shepherd, a good shepherd, you all, goes and finds the sheep, goes on a search and rescue mission, looking for his scattered flock. Notice this. He finds the sheep. He rescues them, Uncle John, from all those places. And it says, and notice in verse 13, the good shepherd says, I will bring them back what? Back home. I will bring them back home to their own land of Israel from among the peoples and nations. This is God talking about the children of Israel. And he sees them, he speaks to them as though they are sheep, and he is the good shepherd. that they could understand that. I love God. I love how he would give a parable, give an illustration that they could relate to. They could relate to sheep. They could relate to pastors. They could relate to flocks scattering. They could relate to sheep wandering away. So what does he say? He says, I will feed them. Not only will I go on a search and rescue mission for them, not only will I bring them back home, but guess what? What else does it say? I will do what? I will feed them. Underline that in your Bible. That's an attribute of a shepherd. An attribute of a good shepherd will feed the flock. He says, I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and by the rivers and in all the places where people live. Now, when we talk about feeding the flock in 2024, we are talking about feeding them with the word of God. Yes, 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 Brother Al, we have to feed. The flock has to be fed the pure word of God. They cannot be fed through emotions, fed through feelings, fed through in terms of stirring one up on the inside. We have to feed, we as disciples, we as ministers, we as pastors, we as under-shepherds have been called to feed the sheep. And Uncle John, the only way I can feed the sheep is I got to spend time in God's word. I got to spend time in God's word because I have been called to equip the body of Christ. So that means that a part of this feeding, Pastor Reggie, is not only spending time in God's word, equipping the body of Christ, I have to teach, I have to encourage, and I have to strengthen. Another part of this feeding is that I have to exemplify Christ through my actions and the word of God. See, when we talk about feeding, we have to feed the sheep so that they will be able to be strong, that they will be encouraged. So when the storm of life comes, when the false shepherds come, they won't listen to their voice because they know the voice of their shepherd. Let me keep on reading here in Ezekiel 34. He says, I'm going to feed them. Here's something else we see about this attribute of a good shepherd. Verse 14, yes, I will give them good pasture land on the high hills of Israel. Notice this, a good shepherd leads the sheep to good pasture land. A good shepherd, Uncle John, does not lead the sheep to dry grass. Don't lead them to a place where it's lean. Then lead them to a place that there's no place to graze at. So notice this. A good shepherd says, God says here, I will give. Notice he keeps saying, I will give them good pasture land. And notice, keep reading that verse 14. There they will lie down in pleasant places and feed in the lush pastures of the hills. Notice this, the good shepherd provides for a place where the sheep can be feel safe as well as they are able to rest. We'll talk a little bit more about that in Psalms 23. But I want to lay the track this morning so we can understand what a good shepherd looks like. It says, not only will I give them a good pasture land, not only will they lie down in a pleasant place where they can rest, a place where it's safe at, a place where they can be comfortable at. He says, I will, look at verse 13, I'm sorry, look at verse 15. I myself will tend my sheep and give them a place to lie down in peace. Not only did he say, I'm going to give them good pasture land where they can graze at. Not only will they be able to lie down in pleasant places, but notice this, a good shepherd takes care of their sheep. I love that word, T-E-N-D, tend, to care for, to provide for. And notice what God said. He said, and I will give them a place to lie down, what? In peace. There's no turmoil. There's no wolves trying to come and get them. There's no lions trying to come and get them. There's no bears trying to come and get them, because I am there. I'm providing the protection. I'm providing a place for them to eat at. I had already scoped it out. I had already looked for it. And I'm bringing them to this place. I'm leading them to this place. Oh, let's keep going. At verse 16. I will search for my lost ones who what? Strayed away. That's another part of the rescue mission. The search and rescue mission. The sovereign Lord said, I will search for my lost ones who strayed away. And I will bring them. Notice the confidence. Notice the boldness. Notice what he said I will do. He said, I will bring them. Not home again. He said, I will bring them safely, Brother Al, home again. And notice what else he said he'll do. He said, I will bandage the injured. That's what a shepherd does. When a sheep gets hurt. When a sheep gets a thorn in their feet. When the sheep gets entangled in barbed wire, when the sheep may fall into a hole, notice as God speaks, the sovereign Lord speaks about his children, his people of Israel. He said, not only will I bring them home again, I'm going to bring them safely home. And then here's what he said, I will bandage. That shows us care. That shows us concern. That shows us compassion. He says, I will bandage the injured. And I will strengthen the weak. My Lord. Pastor Reggie, when I went back and I started reading the scripture, I started at verse number one. And then I saw the Lord say, Deborah, this is the good. I'm the good shepherd. God is saying, look, now this is what a good shepherd looks like. Notice that. He said, I will banish the injured and strengthen what? The weak. But notice what else he says right there in verse 16. He said, but I will destroy those who are fat and powerful. I will feed them. Yes, I will feed them what? Justice. What the sovereign Lord is saying here is that he said, I'm going to take care of this. I know that you have been abused. I know that you've been taken advantage of. But this is what I am going to do. If you go back to go up to Ezekiel 34, verse number 1, Sister Jackie. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the Lord God says to the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed their flock? What was happening was the shepherds, Uncle John, they were getting fat. They were taking advantage. They were getting the everything. And they were leaving the sheep. They weren't feeding the sheep. They weren't tending to the sheep. They weren't teaching the sheep. They weren't doing a search and rescue mission of the sheep. Verse 3, right there in 34. You eat the fat. You wear the wool, and you butcher the fatlings, but you do not tend the flock. Verse 4, you have not strengthened the weak, healed the sick, banished the injured, brought back the strayed, or sought the lost. Instead, you have ruled them with violence and cruelty. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd. They became food for all the wild animals when they were scattered. My flock went astray on all the mountains and every high hill. They were scattered over the whole face of the earth, and there was no one searching or seeking for them. Oh, we got to read Ezekiel 34. And then the sovereign Lord comes down. He said, this is what has been happening. But, oh, let me show you a picture of a good shepherd. A good shepherd, Sister Ruby, search and rescue. They go out and they look for their sheep. They feed the sheep with the word of God. They not only feed the sheep, but they become an example to the sheep of what it means to follow the shepherd. The sheep, the shepherd, I give good pasture land. Provides, he tends, takes care of the sheep. He bandages them up. What do I mean by bandaging up in 2024? That means when your sheep is hurting, your sheep is going through a storm or trial or tribulation, you come alongside that sheep to encourage them in the word of God. This morning, I want us to understand the attributes and the characteristics of a good shepherd. Here's something else. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verses 2 through 4. Read it from the New Living Translation. Here's some directions that is being given to us as leadership, as pastors and elders. Here's what we're told. Care for the flock. Care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Uncle John, I have a mandate upon my life that I am to care, I am to tend to, I am to feed, I am to have compassion on. Notice what it says, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Here's the second thing. Not only am I to care for the flock, here's the second instruction. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it. I don't do this for money. I don't do this for fame or fortune. I have a mandate. I have a calling. I have an assignment on my life that I am to care for the flock, because one is, it doesn't belong to me. I'm going to keep reading. You're going to see it there. I'm to watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. I'm not to come to this line, oh, Lord, I just didn't prepare y'all. Y'all just going to have to get what I got. I hadn't prepared, and I really don't want to do that. That's not what I'm called for. I'm called to watch over willingly because I know that my calling comes from the Lord. I don't begrudge coming to the line. I love it. I'm inspired by it. I'm encouraged by it, Pastor Reggie. So when I come, I want to come with what God has given me. Giving me a word that can encourage somebody, a word that can correct somebody. Sometimes we need correction. The very one speaking to you need correction. So I'm to care, 1 Peter 5, 2 through 4. I'm to care for the flock that God has entrusted to me. I'm to watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what I can get out of it. But because I am eager to serve God. It's all about serving God for me. So that's why I can do it. I can do it so willingly. Because it's not about serving you. I serve you through God. But my first service, my first allegiance is to God. My first allegiance is to him. And he told me, he said, Debra, you got to care for him. You got to love him. You got to be an example. You got to teach the word. You got to watch over them. You can't watch over them just for what money you think you're going to get, what gift you're going to get, what cash out you're going to get. It ain't about that. Here's what he said. He said, don't lord over them. What that means? Putting pressure. It's got to be my way or no way. I'm not the Lord over the ones that have been assigned to my care. But I got to lead you all by a good example. Uncle John, you know, I know everybody want to get to Psalm 23, but we got to understand what a good shepherd is. And the calling we as leaders have on our lives. Here's what it says. Don't lord over them. Lead them by your own good example. I can't come on the line and preach living holy when I'm not living holy. When I'm preaching righteousness, well, I'm not walking in the vein of righteousness. If I want a child to follow me, then I have to align myself with the word of God. I have to align myself with God. See, I'm not going to pretend and I'm not going to put on. So this word tells me, lead them by your own good example. It says in verse number 4. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. We are all on this road of progressing, being more like Christ. Being more like him, walking in holiness, walking in righteousness. Being men and women of integrity. When others look at us, they can see that we are disciples of Christ, ambassadors of God, that we are citizens of the kingdom. Here's the next scripture, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Mother Cora, here's what it says. So guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, that was purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. We have been appointed by God, and we have our calling is to him. And Uncle John, each one of these scriptures gives me the attributes, gives me what the characteristics of a good shepherd is. I want to be a good shepherd, you all. I want to be a good shepherd. But to be a good shepherd, it takes, guess what? It takes digging into the word, immersing myself in the word of God, walking it out, living it out, and no matter where I am, be who I am that God has called me to be. I'm not going to change who I am because I go to the restaurant, because I go to the steak and ale, because I go to the Longhorn, because I go to the Cracker Barrel. No, I am a disciple of Christ no matter where I am. And guess what? I am to represent him. I'm to represent him when I go to the family reunion. I'm to represent him. So when it talks about a shepherd, a good shepherd, Pastor Kuiper, search and rescue mission. A good shepherd feeds the sheep, the pure word of God, the pure milk of the word. A good shepherd looks for good pasture land. A good shepherd provides peace. A good shepherd tends to the sheep. A good shepherd brings the sheep who've been lost, bring them home again. And guess what? He restores them. She restores them. They care for the flock. They watch over it. They don't lord over them. They lead by a good example. They guard themselves as well as God's people. They feed and they shepherd them. So when we get to Psalms 23 this morning and we continue to focus on the good shepherd, David is the penman of Psalms 23. He thought about God, you all. He thought about the God of Israel. And as he thought about his relationship with God, He made the analogy of a shepherd and his sheep. God was like a shepherd to David. And David was like a sheep to God. The idea begins as early as the book of Genesis, where Jacob called the Lord the shepherd, the stone of Israel, in Genesis 49 and 24. We know David was a shepherd himself. We know that he took care of sheep. But we also know, as we look at Psalm 23, David says, I can talk about him as being my shepherd. When we go to John chapter 10, verse 11 and verse 14, Jesus clearly spoke of himself as the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep and who can say, I know my sheep and am known by my own. Hebrews 13 and 20 speaks of Jesus as that great shepherd of the sheep. 1 Peter 2:25 calls Jesus the shepherd and overseer of our souls. And 1 Peter 5 and 4 calls Jesus the chief shepherd. So we have looked at the responsibilities of a shepherd: feeding his flock, guiding his flock, governing his flock, defending his flock, tending and taking care of them. The shepherd lives with his flock and is everything to it. His guide, their guide, their physician, and their protector. So Uncle John, when I look at the Lord, as David says here, Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. What do I see there, Sister Wanda? I see David knew this in a personal sense. That's why I asked this morning, do you know that God is your shepherd? Without a shadow of a doubt. Notice David's tone of confidence. Notice that you hear, he cares for me. He watches over me. He preserves me, coming from David. David found comfort and security in the thought that God cared for him like a shepherd cared for his sheep. I know God cares for me, you all. I know that God shows compassion towards me. I know that he tends to me. He cares for me. He preserves me. He watches over me. I can testify like David can this morning. What about you? Can you testify? Can you testify in your house right now and say, I know that God is my shepherd. I know that God takes care of me. I know that God is my protector. I know that he's my physician. I know that he's my guide. David says he knew this from a personal sense, not what he read, not what his daddy told him, but what he knew himself. He knew that a good shepherd gives the sheep a sense of belonging. He knew a good shepherd knows his sheep. What does John 10:14 say? I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. What this word know means, it means it's intimate. It's a term of intimacy. And David says, he says, I know. A good shepherd gives the sheep a sense of belonging. A good shepherd knows his sheep. Not only that, he knows their name. He knows them by name. How do you say that, Deborah? John 10 and 3. To him, the porter opens, and the sheep hears his voice. And he calleth his own sheep, what? By name, and he leadeth them out. He knows their name. He knows his sheep. He gives them a sense of belonging. Now, notice this verse 1. I shall not want. This is what I shall not want means. It means all my needs are supplied, Uncle John, by the Lord, my shepherd. All my needs. So all I have to do is tell God, thank you. Because he's my shepherd, because he's my father, Abba Father, He supplies all of my needs. I don't have to worry. I don't have to get anxious because he's made a promise to me. It says, it means I decided not to desire more than what the Lord, my shepherd, gives. The shepherd sees that the needs of the sheep are met, Sister Wanda. Why do we worry about whether the shepherd meets our needs? Because he's already said he'll do it. What did he say? The Lord is my shepherd, not the government, not President Biden, not local government. It's the Lord that's my shepherd. And if the Lord is my shepherd and he is the creator of the world, owns everything, then why, Brother Al, are we worried? And we are children of the King. We go on. The shepherd sees that the needs of the sheep are met. So why do we worry about whether the shepherd meets our needs? Here's the next thing. He feeds the sheep. Yeah, the shepherd feeds the sheep. So when, notice this, he feeds the sheep. Remember when Jesus was talking to Peter, and Pastor Kyber and I have had discussions over when Jesus says, he told us, he said, do you love me? And Peter's response was, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said, well, if you love me, I want you to feed my lambs. Jesus asked him again. He said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's response was, Lord, you know that I love you. He says, if you love me, I want you to feed my sheep. Jesus says to him a third time, Mother Neal, he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter got grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And notice what Jesus said. He said, Peter, go feed my sheep. Now that word love, you all, is different in different settings. Jesus was talking about agape love, but Peter was on another level of love. And Jesus was trying to bring him up to having that agape love. But the point I want to make here out of this scripture is that notice the call that Jesus said to Simon Peter, feed my lamb, feed my sheep. Here's the other thing when we look at this scripture, when we look at Psalms 23, verse 2. He making me to lie down in green pastures. Not only does he know my name, not only does he know his sheep, not only does he feed his sheep, not only does he provide for my need, but Uncle John, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Well, what does this mean? Green pastures is a picture of a place, Sister Ruby Dudley, of tranquility. It is a place of rest. And I want to say to you this morning, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. The implication is that a sheep does not always know what it needs and what is best for itself. So it needs help from the what? Shepherd. Sheep do not lie down easily. They don't. There are four conditions that have to be met for them to be able to do that. Here's the first one. Because they are timid, they will not lie down if they are afraid. Because they are social animals, they will not lie down if there is friction among the sheep. If flies or parasites trouble them, they will not lie down. And if sheep are anxious about food or hungry, they will not lie down. Rest comes because the shepherd has dealt with fear, he's dealt with the friction, he's dealt with the flies, and he's dealt with famine. See, our God has dealt with everything, so we as sheep should be able to lie down in green pastures. We should be able to rest because we got our trust placed in our God, who's our shepherd. We should find a place of tranquility because guess what? We are in what? Green pastures. Here's what else verse number 2 says. He leadeth me, Sister Wanda, by what? By beside the still waters. Know this, you all. The shepherd, is to lead his sheep and not to drive them. Y'all see that word? He leadeth me. That David lets me know right there is that the shepherd is to lead his sheep and not to drive them. It says right in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they do what? They follow me. The sheep should be able to trust the voice of the shepherd and be willing to follow him or her. Here's the other thing. The shepherds lead by still water. The sheep will drown you all in swift water. The sheep will drown. Their wool is like a sponge that absorbs the water so that the sheep cannot swim out. So the shepherd should again lead them to still water so that they can drink without fear of drowning. Yes, our shepherd takes away fear. Our shepherd provides us a place of rest. Our shepherd is the one that's leading us. And we are sheep that follow the shepherd, follow his direction. Let's keep going. Here's a note to church leadership, pastors and elders. The shepherd is to care for the sheep and not just feed them. God has given pastors and elders the role and position of an under-shepherd. We should not do it for money, but willingly. We should not be lords over the sheep, but lead by being examples to the flock. And we see what the result is right there in Scripture. The result is that we receive a crown of glory. Let's keep going. Look at verse number 3 of Psalms 23. He restored my soul. The soul, you all, is the mind, the will, and emotions. And how, Uncle John, does the shepherd restore the soul? Well, here's how. He affirms the sheep rather than be critical. He encouraged the sheep rather than being discouraging to them. He instructs rather than condemning them. He speaks blessing over them rather than cursing them. He protects them rather than feeding them to the wolves. He gathers them together with the flock rather than scattering them in the wilderness. That's how a shepherd restores, that's what David said, he restores my soul. He encourages me. He instructs me. He speaks blessings over me. He protects me. He gathers us together as a flock rather than scattering us in the wilderness so the wolves can get us. He restores my soul. Here's the other part. The shepherds bring healing. We saw right there in Ezekiel 34, verse 4, where God rebukes the shepherds. But notice this. Jesus says when he sent out the 12 to shepherd the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he says, and as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. And freely ye have received and freely give. Matthew 10:7-8. We have been called, we have been anointed, we have been appointed, and we have been empowered. We have been empowered to be the shepherd, under-shepherd God has called us to be. But we got to do it his way. We can't do it our way. We can't do what somebody else doing down the street. We can't do what somebody else doing over there, doing on the internet, or doing here or there. Notice this. He's specific. God has made it so plain to us, Pastor Reggie, as to what our responsibility is as under-shepherds, how we're supposed to do it, how we're supposed to carry it out. And notice, he has given us power. The power to be able to heal the sick, the power to be able to raise the dead, the power to be able to cast out devils. But are we walking in our power? Are we walking in fear? Because he's my shepherd, I have no reason to be fearful. I'm bold. I'm confident in him, not in myself. Look at Father. Psalms 23:3. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. The shepherd was a what? Guide. The sheep didn't need to know where the green pastures or the still waters were. All it needed to know was where the shepherd was. Because see, guess what? I'm not in the driver's seat. God is in the driver's seat. God don't need no co-pilot. All I got to do is listen to his voice. Let his voice guide me, lead me, and order my footsteps. I'm not in the driver's seat. I don't want to be in the driver's seat. Brother Al, we got to get to the point where it says, he leadeth me in the path of what? Righteousness. For what? His name's sake. God's name is on display. I got to guide you all. I don't need to know where the green pastures are. I don't need to know where the next place for ministry is for me. I don't need to know that. All I need to know is the shepherd. He leads the sheep by example, teaching them the right path to go. What does Proverbs 22:6 say? Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train, lead by example. The shepherd's leadership not only comforted and restored David, he also guided his sheep into righteousness, a path of righteousness. Sister Reuben, a path of holy obedience. He moved all the obstructions out of the way, so that they could be strengthened to walk and to run in the path of God's command. Look, here's something else. He is also willing to go after the lost sheep. When I, Uncle John, start digging and turning Psalms 23 over, and the Lord kept bringing more and more, he says, when you look at Psalm 23, because I'm a shepherd, I'm willing to go after the lost sheep. How many of us are willing to call people we hadn't seen in 2 weeks in church? How many of us are willing to call people we hadn't heard on the line in 2 weeks? We hadn't heard their voice. We hadn't heard their singing. We haven't felt their presence. So the shepherd tells me, Mother Neal, is that I got to be willing to go. I have to what? Lead the 99. What about the parable in Luke 15:3-7 that talks about the parable, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? How many are girls and boys lost? Part of the flock, part of the assembly. And we haven't seen them. In 2 weeks, we haven't seen them in 2 years, 3 years. The job of the shepherd, we have to be willing, Pastor Reggie, willing, Minister Braxton, to go after the lost sheep. We got to stop worrying about our feelings getting hurt. We're too busy. Oh, if I said something, they're going to hurt my feelings. They're going to curse me out. They ain't going to want to be around me. They won't be my friend. Who friend do you want? Who do you want to be your friend? Who you want to be your shepherd? We got a responsibility here. Let me go on. He cares. He carries it so that it will become dependent on. Notice what one goes after the sheep, the lost sheep. They put them on, they find them, and they put them on their shoulders, and they come alongside them, and they bring them back, and they restore them. Psalms 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they cover me. Notice here, the gift of the shepherd's presence, Sister Wanda. No matter what valley I go through, underline the word through, the shepherd is with me. Why do you think when you're in a trial or tribulation or storm, or life, God don't stay, leave and then say, well, I'll come back when it's over? No, that ain't the God we serve. He says, yes, when following the Lord as shepherd, one may still walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Even though I'm a disciple of Christ, I am going to walk through some valleys. But David recognized that under the shepherd's leading, he may walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It isn't his destination or dwelling place. But it is a place where we learn more about the presence of the Lord. It is a place that we walk through, Mother Cora. The shepherd, when I'm there, the shepherd provides security, provides freedom from fear. The good shepherd is willing to give his life for his sheep. The shepherd should be willing to stay with his sheep rather than to leave them so the foxes and the wolves can get them. Who are the foxes and the wolves? False teachers, false doctrine. The wolves, the foxes, going back to the old life, the old way where you came out of. The foxes, see, a hireling, y'all, a H-I-R-E-L-I-N-G, a hireling is not a shepherd. When it gets tough, Uncle John, they get going. But a shepherd going to stay there. A shepherd's gonna be there to provide the comfort and provide what's there. A hireling will leave. A hireling will leave the sheep to the wolves. Hireling does not walk in the valley. We as believers of Christ, ambassadors of Christ, we don't walk in the valley alone. We walk through the valley. Even in a fearful place, the presence of the shepherd banished the fear of evil. We might say that the shepherd's presence did not eliminate the presence of evil, but notice this, it certainly eliminated the fear of evil. David says the rod represents the authority of the shepherd. It was like a club that the shepherd used to protect his sheep. The staff was a long stick with a hook on the end used as an aid to pull the sheep out of the pit if it fell into one. The rod and the staff were instruments that was used by a shepherd. The shepherd must be willing, Pastor Reggie, to fight for his sheep, just as David fought for his sheep in 1 Samuel 17. You got to be willing to go against the bears, go against the lions of this world. We as leaders got to be willing to go against the bears and the lions, to go against false teaching, to go against false teachers, to go against those things that do not align to the word of God, and be able to tell our children, tell our boys and girls, that's not what God says. You got to be willing to fight for your sheep. You got to be concerned for your sheep. You got to be willing to go after the enemy. You got to be willing to take the enemy down. You got to be willing to take those that the enemy tries to rob and steal from your flock. You got to be willing as leaders. He took the lamb out of the enemy's mouth. We got to be like David. We got to suit up. Suit up with the word of God. Suit up with the weapons that we have in Ephesians chapter 6. I prepared the table before me in the presence of my enemies. And yes, we will have enemies. Yes, we have enemies. We know who our number one enemy is. But notice what David said. A magnificent banquet provided by our most liberal and benevolent host. This is him shifting gears and showing us God, the shepherd, as a host. This bounty to feed us, but the power to protect us. even though we are surrounded by our enemies. Notice this, Sister Dudley. I can sit down at this table with confidence, knowing that I shall feast in perfect security. Ain't nothing the enemy can do to me. The shepherd prepares the food for the sheep. He removes the stones and the thorn bushes. He builds a hedge about the field. He spends time in the Word. How does he prepare? He spends time in the Word. What does 2 Timothy 2 and 15 says? Study. The shepherd got to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, Uncle John. If a shepherd does not study the Word, he has nothing to share with his sheep. The shepherd, again, must feed the sheep, tend to the sheep. And what do I feed? I'm feeding the Word of God. I'm feeding encouragement. I'm feeding affirmation because I see you growing in the Word. I don't see you breaking down like you did 2 or 3 years ago when this happened in your life. You start saying, this is what the Word says. I heard you praying this morning, Sister Ruby. This is what the Word says. Even when a family member transitions, even when a family member is promoted, I can find comfort in the Word of God. I'm not breaking down. I'm not wanting to try to get over in the grave with them, get over in the casket with them. I'm not breaking down because guess what? If they know, if they have made that Romans 10, 9 and 10 sister declaration, connected to the true vine. As a matter of fact, Uncle John, they are moving from the land of the dying, going to the land of the living. I'm not breaking down. So notice this. The shepherd prepares the meal. The shepherd works on it all week long, chewing it and asking God, how do I share this message with your people, Lord, so they can hang on to it, that they have a confidence in you. If the shepherd properly feeds the sheep, here's what happens. They will be strong. They will be healthy. And they will multiply. I'll say that again. If the shepherd is properly feeding the sheep, they will be strong, they will be healthy, and they will multiply. Thou anointed my head with oil. The anointing is to bring a sense of worth. The shepherd in the field anointed the head of the sheep with oil and spice to protect it from harmful insects. Despite the dangers around him and the presence of enemies, David enjoyed the richness of his host's goodness. He was refreshed by a head anointed with oil and his cup running over. David said, my cup runneth over. The shepherd should not be stingy, but generous towards his sheep. The shepherd should bless the sheep beyond measure. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The shepherd should be good to the sheep. The shepherd should show mercy. And mercy is not dealing out what is deserved. Surely goodness, this is a part of the kingdom, you all. This is a part of the kingdom of God. This goodness and this mercy that's going to follow me all the days of my life. The host care brought the goodness and mercy of God to David, and he lived in the faithful expectation of his continuing all day long. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The psalm ends with the calmest assurance that he should enjoy the presence of the Lord forever, both in his days on earth and beyond, the presence of the Lord. The shepherd should provide a place that one can call home. When we look in Luke 15, 11 through 32, where we see the story of the prodigal son, we see where the son wasted his life. He wasted his inheritance. But we also see him coming home. Notice what it says. And I will dwell in the house, the home that has been prepared for me by the Lord, that I will be able to dwell there forever. I have a place, just as this prodigal son did, a place that I can call home. What about you this morning? Do you have a place that you can call home? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you are connected to the true vine? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt the confidence, the trust that you have that God is shepherding you? That God is the one that's guiding you. Not Facebook, not Instagram, not TikTok, what somebody think on TikTok about your situation. Do you know for without a shadow of a doubt, it's God that's directing you. It's God that's ordering your steps. It's God that tells you this is what you need to do and not do. This is what all of this is wrapped up in this morning. When I look at God being my shepherd, knowing that I as a sheep got to spend time in the word. I as a sheep have to take direction. I as a sheep got responsibility. I as a sheep got to be reliant. I as a sheep got to trust. I as a sheep got to depend. What about you? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt you're connected to the good shepherd? The one that will go on a search and rescue mission for you. One that will feed you. One that will tend to you. One that will bandage you up when you are brokenhearted. One that will strengthen you when you're weak. What about you? And leaders, I have to ask you a question this morning. Are you operating as a shepherd? Under shepherd? Are you caring for the flock? Are you watching over the flock willingly? Are you leading the flock by a good example? Are you guarding the flock that God, the people that God entrusted to you? Questions this morning. The good shepherd. I know and have a personal relationship with the good shepherd. What about you? Good morning.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
As I was listening to the word being taught this morning, it just made me look at myself so much. Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? And especially when she got down to that part about when people, you know, don't come to church, have you called them? Or people that used to be on the line, have you called them? I mean, she was stepping on my toes, but that's what the word's supposed to do. And I thank her and I appreciate her teaching because I can see myself, I can learn from what I'm not doing, and I can try to put it in practice on a daily basis. So I am just so grateful to have her as my teacher. She used to be my Sunday school teacher. Now she's teaching me still the Word of God. And I thank you and I appreciate you so much. Is there any questions or comments?
Amen. Amen. Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
Greetings. Greetings. Greetings, Sister Ruby, Dr. Dale, Brother Al, Sister Wanda, Uncle John, and all that are on the line today. What a powerful lesson for us to hear today. Surely we wear the titles of the ministry sometimes, but we must be able to live and carry out the mandate that God has given us. And what a powerful reminder, Dr. Deb, as you taught us today, as you ministered, as you brought the word to us, so powerfully. So there's so much there. So just in that Psalm 23, but thank you so much, Dr. Dale, for extending it beyond the text that was the base text into other areas of Scripture to speak to us as we see God ministering. Ezekiel was so powerful. As we see that God was not happy with those that he had placed in leadership as shepherd over his people, Israel, and they began to fail, and he began to be dissatisfied with them. And in the text that you read from Ezekiel that you talked to, he was not happy with the shepherds. As a matter of fact, he said he was going to remove them from tending the flock. So sometimes God has to uproot some people who are not leading the flock as they should. And then he said that he himself, hallelujah, the sovereign Lord, was going to be the shepherd. He said he was going to search for his sheep and look after them. And so when we think of David, Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, as we call it, may have been written way before Ezekiel's time, my Lord. And we just see the power of that even as he spoke to these leaders of the nation of Israel, because they were leading them in the wrong way. It brought judgment from God upon the nation of Israel. And so as you mentioned certain things about us today, even from our families to our nation, the leaders that lead us should lead us in the path of righteousness for our God's name's sake. But we can trust God that he will lead us in the path of righteousness. Amen. And I think about First Peter. He talks about Jesus being the chief shepherd. Oh, yes, the chief shepherd is coming back to see how we are attending to the sheep. He's the shepherd and bishop of our souls, Peter tells us. And so when we think about what you have sort of admonished us in some way, as Sister Ruby was saying, the text, the word admonishes us in some way, but you also encourage us and challenges us to be the people of God, the leaders that we should be. And all of us are a leader in some way in the body of Christ. But those of us who take on the other responsibility ought to be held to a higher standard of leading, feeding, guiding, and guarding the sheep that are in the hands of the master shepherd, the chief shepherd. I want to give a term before I not say anything else, but I want to give a term that came to me as I was researching in these different things about the shepherd and about sheep. Leading sheep, you know, I thank you for the word, the focus on leading. Even Christ, even Jesus doesn't drive us. He said his sheep will know his voice and they will follow. And he used the term follow because we are to follow him. Even Paul says he wanted us to follow him, those that were following him, as he followed Christ. So we want to make sure we are following him. But the term I want to leave you with, and I'll let go of my thoughts so I not get too caught up in it, because it did, as Sister Ruby said, it did. I had to take some hits. Hallelujah. But I have to stand strong in what God is saying in his word today. But the term is bellwether. Bellwether. That was a type of sheep that was leading the flock. It actually, we use the term under shepherd. Hallelujah. But the bellwether sheep would lead the flock. The bellwether sheep was one that wore a bell, and they would follow the sound of the bell. And he would lead them some way, sometimes away from danger. But sometimes they would follow him. And, of course, the shepherd, they heard the shepherd's voice, and they would follow the voice. And even the shepherd named the sheep. As Jesus said, he knows us by name. And the last thing is a powerful thing that I heard you say that ministered to me about sheep, Dr. Deb, was when sheep are frightened, they can't function, hallelujah, in the way that they should. They can't even reproduce. they can't respond and do things because they're afraid. But the shepherd protects them. The shepherd guides them. The shepherd gives them that peace so they can be comfortable and at rest to be able to do what it is that they need to do to survive and to multiply. So thank you for that word today. Thank you for that teaching today. Thank you for what you do in your ministry to those to feed and help them to be clothed and to help them along the way. So I salute you and I salute the saints on the line, and may God continue to give us and strengthen us. And thank you for the word today. And to God be the glory forever. And I'll just say amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Dale. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Anyone else this morning? How did the message this morning resonate with you as a sheep? Resonate with you as understanding even more the role and responsibility of a shepherd? And you're so right, Pastor Reggie, that we all are in a role of leadership, whether we're shepherd at home over our children, where we're shepherd in terms of supervision. We all play a role in that, whether we're shepherding as a responsibility in our churches.
Yes.
Are we being good shepherds? The Lord is speaking to us as citizens yes. of the kingdom. Am I being a good under shepherd? Am I being a bellwether shepherd, as you spoke this morning? Have I called a check on that person? Yes. Have I sent them a card that would feed them the word of God, that would strengthen and encourage them? Right now, I think about Sister Pat Taylor. I got a card. I got a package in my car right now that I didn't get to mail this past week, but I know I got to get it to her. I got to do a visitation, whatever it takes. See, what we do is I cannot sit back and say, let somebody else do it. We are called to tend. We are called to care for. We are called to feed. And many ministries have people that are servant leaders of ministries that are the people who go visit the people in the hospital and send them cards. No, we each have a responsibility. Our responsibility does not go out the window to be generous givers because we got a benevolence offering. Or we used to call it way back in the country, the Polk collection. Our responsibility does not leave us. And the Lord is speaking to us this morning, speaking to me, Deborah. Your role as a under shepherd, as a leader, go farther than showing up at the home going service. But all those other things that need to be done, you think it stepped on your toes this morning? Hey, I'm ouching all the way. But I'm crying out to God, saying, Lord, I want to be pleasing in your sight. So then he shows me, don't just go to Psalms 23. You got to go back and look at me setting the example of what a good shepherd looks like.
Yes.
You got to have an example of what a good shepherd looks like so that you can follow that example. The worst thing is to have a bad example, because everything that you produce is going to look just like the one that set the example. But God said, let me take you back. I got to take you back so you can see what good looks like. See what greatness really looks like. And good and greatness takes work. It takes sacrifice. because that's what that scripture talked about, one that is willing to sacrifice. That's what the good, making sacrifices, being intentional, being willing to lead when nobody else shows up, being willing to pray when nobody else is praying. So you're right, you know, Pastor Kuiper. You're so right. It's the sacrifices that we must make and not be worried about what somebody going to say about us. I think that's the one thing that gets us really in a hole. I don't want to lose their friendship. I don't want them to talk about me. But you're letting them keep going in a direction that they're going that you know is not good. It's not going to end up well. Remember, they will make a decision, but we have to do our part. I got some work to do to you all. I got some work, but I want to equip us even the more, encourage us even the more, for us to be strengthened by the word even the more, to keep us accountable to the mission that God has called us to, the vision he's called us to, the values that we have as a disciple, as an ambassador of Christ, and bringing others back, caring for them for enough, whether they're having to go to the club, whether it's having to go to the drug house. I care about you enough. But we got to spend time in the Word of God and let it soak and saturate our mind. And it would take care of that fear. It would take care of the anxiety and give us the boldness and the confidence that we need as disciples. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. Hey, man, I'm trying not to stir you up any more than I did, because I know Uncle John is coming, maybe Mother Cora's on the line. I do know some other saints may have something they could share, but, you know, I think we should always remember, even as under-shepherds, that we are still sheep. And if we keep that in mind, too, that we'll look at the sheep, other sheep, like we should look at ourselves. And realize how God looks at the sheep, and they are precious to him. As you touched upon what I call the trilogy of the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. I call it the trilogy. They come right there together in Luke chapter 15. And we see how precious the one is, and he will go and look for that one sheep, that one precious coin, and look for the wayward lost child to come back home. So we all should look at other sheep as being precious in his sight. And so we treat them with that love. It's all go ties together with loving them as we love ourselves, but knowing that all sheep are precious, and we that have responsibility for those that are under us, we're to be able to or willing to have that love to guide him, as he told Peter, to feed his sheep. So we need to be able to do all of those things. So thank you for, again, thank you for the word. So maybe someone else has something else they may want to share. I don't want to push it hard, but I just know that it's a blessing to have heard this word today. Amen.
Yes. Anyone else this morning? Pastor Kuiper, what an on-time word that has come to us today as we get ready to see who the next president of the U.S. will be.
Yes.
My confidence is not in the office in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Amen. Who will sit there or who will not sit there? The people of God got to come together and let the conversation be, my confidence is in God.
Yes.
My confidence is in God, not in who sits in that seat. Yes, we may have our preferences. We may have our opinion. But I am aligned, whoever I hear on that Wednesday, Thursday, whenever, my confidence is in God. David said, yes. I once was young, but now I am old.
Never.
Come on, Pastor Reggie.
Never seen the righteous forsaken.
Or his
seed begging bread.
I understand all these other things and policies, and I understand.
Yes.
But I have lifted my eyes to the hills. But whence cometh my help? For I know my help comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord, our sovereign God, is in control.
Yes.
So who should I put my trust in?
Yes. Yes, he is our shepherd.
Yes.
Yes.
He's a good shepherd.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's a good, he already told me go feed me. He already told me go take care of me. He's already told me go protect me. He already told me I'm going to go through some valleys of the shadow. Remember, y'all, a shadow is different from something being real. Shadow of death.
Yeah.
He already told me I'm going to go through it. Yeah, he never told me we weren't going to have some tough times. But he's with me. And if I am aligned to his word, his will, and his way, I am already well. I am already victorious. I'm already more than a conqueror. I'm already triumphant.
Yeah, and who shall?
Who shall
separate you?
From the what?
From the love. From the love of God.
So will an election separate me? Will persecution separate me?
No.
Oh. No.
My Lord.
Hallelujah. We're counted
nothing
all day. Yes, indeed. Nothing.
He said nothing. Nothing shall separate us. He said, no, in all these things, we are more than victorious through him who loved us. It is through him. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creative thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we have the love of God in us, he said, abounding in us in Romans 5:5, I have the love of God abounding in my heart. That means I got his love. I got him living on the inside of me.
Yes.
I know all things work together for good. Isn't that what we quote?
Yes,
we quote the scripture, but do we really believe it? Do we really believe that what Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose.
Yes.
That's what my book says. That's what my manual says. That's what my constitution says. That's what my word says. What about your constitution? What does the preamble of your constitution say? What can you count on? What do you know without a shadow of a doubt? I don't know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but what I do know is that he promised me he'll never leave me nor forsake me, Hebrews 13:5.
Yeah.
I know what he promised me, even though I go through the waters, even though I go through the rivers, even though I go through the fire. I'm not going to drown. I'm not going to be burned up from the situation that nobody knows who I am. No, nobody can tell that I'm a disciple of Christ. And I know he ain't going to leave me because he's going to bring me through. That's all I got.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, sister. I hear you, Doc.
Uncle John.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right. You really did a job on me this morning. You did a job.
Yes,
sir. You did a job on me this morning. You really took the key and unlocked that 23rd song. I like the way you unlock it. You can have the keys. You can keep the keys to it. You got the keys to it. We want to thank our devotees this morning. Opening scripture, Minister Deborah. That morning prayer, Sister Ruby, thank you. And reading of the morning scripture, Sister Wanda. Praise and worship, Brother Al. I had warned us sometime before that, sometime these Sunday school lessons will be almost about what's going on in the world today.
Yeah.
But if you want to be a leader, you had to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. You got to first be led before you can be a leader. Amen. We're going to look at verse here. Verse 6. The last one in our lesson. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We want to talk this morning, our subject, stay in the house.
Yes.
Stay in the house, Pastor Kuiper.
Yes.
Stay in the house, Minister Deborah. Yes, you said now what happened. But this is a song, David. But much of this song came to mind of life experience. You know, David was a shepherd boy who knew how to take care of his father's sheep. While his father and some of his older brothers was at war with the Philistines. David was also at war behind the front line. It was war keeping the sheep safe from the bears of the lion. It was war leading the sheep to green pasture. It was a war leading them through the valleys of the shadow of death. It was war going out looking for strays, the one which had strayed away. David, he knew that God would provide everything But he also found out that shepherding is not a lazy man's job, because you have to lay down late at night, sometimes be up early in the morning. You have war against the devil trying to take care of God's sheep. Minister Devil, I tell you this morning, stay in the house. But I tell you, if I had to write about some of my life experience, it would be I'm going to stay in the house for the Lord. That is to say, stay connected to the house for the Lord, where there is your heavenly home. Amen. I got the love of Jesus. I got the love of Jesus in my heart.
Yes.
I got the love of Jesus.
Yes.
I got the love of Jesus. I got the love of Jesus in my heart. Oh, you can't make me doubt him.
Yeah.
Can't make me doubt him. For I got the love of Jesus in my heart. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. We thank Uncle John so much for what he brings to the line and being our superintendent. It has been an awesome journey for us both, and I am so thankful and grateful for him. Please come back this evening, for he will inspire us even the more through the word of God. I can't wait for this evening. What an awesome time I'm believing and knowing that we will have, because I know that Uncle John is connected to the true vine. He's connected to the Lord. The Lord is in him, and he is in the Lord. Amen. I want to ask if there are any additional announcements. Again, we ask that you keep Sister Mary Griggs, that's Sister Wanda's aunt, in prayer. We're praying Isaiah 53, 4, and 5. Also, Sister Pat Taylor. Is Sister Pat still at the medical center, Sister Ruby? Okay, amen, amen. The Lord gives us opportunity today. We're headed there. Are there any others this morning that we may need to do a visitation to while we're out? Any others that we may need to do a visitation that may be in the hospital, please let us know. We want to be able to do what God has called us to do, continue to do that as well, to share this message with them. Amen. If not, again, tonight, Tuesday night, we will do a summary of Romans, the book of Romans, the journey we've had. Again, thanking Pastor Kuiper for 17 weeks of just sharing with us. That's a while, isn't it, you all? 17 weeks to walk through the book of Romans, but it has been, I will tell you, it's been helpful to me. And it has encouraged me even the more of God's calling on my own life. And I just thank him for that. And again, review, I'm asking those that have been a part of it, Sister Ruby, I certainly, we're going to get on the phone and call some people we know that's been with us. We've had some people, you all, that's been with us every week. Every week they called in. And that's a blessing. So we want to call them and have them to be a part of this sharing. If they don't share but one little gold nugget, or just thank you, Pastor Reggie, for just leading us in the book of Romans. We want to try to get as many people to do that. And then we are going to have prayer as well. Any other comments that we want to share on today? The confidence and the trust that we have in God. Amen. If not, I thank Uncle John for singing our song. I'm going to ask if Pastor Reggie would close us out in prayer. Is Brother Al still on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Brother Al. It is so good to have you. I can hear you sometimes. You don't know this. I can hear you in the background, and I just know that you're there. And I'm so glad you have allowed us to minister to you. You are in Cincinnati, Ohio, and you each Sunday allow this ministry to minister to you, and you minister to us. And I just want to thank you, your household, Minister Braxton, who did an awesome job on last week in sharing the word of God, just an awesome job. I just want to thank you all for just being a part of the Gathered Place Beyond the Wall. Cincinnati, Ohio, you all is a long way from here, but yet they call in Sunday, each Sunday, and some Tuesdays when they can. And I'm just so, I'm just thankful to the Lord is that we can have those that are far away that keeps coming. And that means that God is doing a work. And we pray that this ministry is a blessing and that you are truly getting the word of God that strengthens you, encourages you, but also propels you to do what he's called you to do. Brother Al, we're going to ask if you would sing for us later. And as we get ready to close out, Pastor Kuiper is going to close us out with prayer. We're going to prepare for the Lord's Supper. I'm going to ask those of you, if you would, just kind of wash your hands if you need to be. We have been moving around this morning at papers and all this kind of thing, but we want to, this is just an outward show of cleansing that depicts the inward cleansing of asking the Lord to forgive us for our missteps, asking him to forgive us of our sins and to restore us. And we want to be in the position so that we as ambassadors of Christ will be able to go out today. And that doesn't mean you have to go outside the doors of your home, but you can go out by picking up the phone and calling someone to encourage them. As Sister Ruby said, you hadn't heard in 2 weeks or a week or so. Calling them to encourage, be intentive in doing a card, a postcard for them today. Be intentive when you see the person that waits on you today. If you go to a restaurant, being intentional in our efforts on today. So, Pastor Kuiper, if you would come and close us out in prayer, sir, we will go into our next service, serving the Lord's Supper, and then Brother Al will close us out with prayer. Thank you.
Great. Oh, gracious God, our Father, you are the great shepherd of us all. And so, Father, we just thank you today for your Holy Spirit's presence among us today. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being in the midst today, even from the beginning to the end of this time of sharing, from the beginning of the fellowship of conversation, to the opening of the psalms, to the prayers and the praise that we've offered to you today, God. Father, we thank you for your word, which is so precious. Father, we thank you for the people who have shared today in your word. We thank you for Dr. Dev, and we thank you for Uncle John, who share the messages to us from the word today. Father, we know that all of us have a responsibility as believers, those of us who are reaching out to those who are lost, Father, continue to give us a heart for the lost sheep, for those that are just wayward and just lost from the kingdom. Father, give us a mind to share with them the gospel of Jesus and to visit them who are sick. We pray for our two sisters that who are sick, and names were mentioned today. Father, we pray that you would touch them, Father, with your healing hand. Touch them right now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of his blood. Father, we pray, Lord God, as we wind down this portion and we transition, Lord God, to look to you, to break bread together, to drink of the wine, symbolizing your body and your blood, which was shed on the cross at Calvary. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us.
Father, we love you, and we know that nothing will separate us from your love. And, Father, we want to be able to be the shepherds, the under-shepherds that you have placed us in position to be. Father, we want to be able to be good leaders. Father, we want to follow you because you are our shepherd. And, Father, I'm going to stay in the house. As Uncle John ministered to us in the end, and stay in the house of God. So we know that that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days that we walk this earth. So, Father, as we transition, I pray, Father, that you would bless this time, bless the elements that we're about to partake of, Father, that we will know the seriousness of communing with you, Holy Spirit, to commune with you, Lord God, because we look forward to the day that you will come and we will have new wine in the supper that we have together. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you. And I give you all the glory today and all that you have done and what you're going to continue to do throughout the day. And I ask this prayer right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, who is our great shepherd. In his name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's turn our hearts and our minds to Mark chapter 14, beginning with verse 22. During the meal, Jesus took some bread in his hands. He blessed the bread and broke it. Then he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this. It is my body." Jesus picked up a cup of wine and gave thanks to God. He gave it to his disciples, and they all drank some. Then he said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for many people, and with it, God makes his agreement. From now on, I will not drink any wine until I drink new wine in God's kingdom." Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. We as disciples of Christ must keep in mind that the communion supper instituted by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a sacrament which proclaims his life, his sufferings, his sacrificial death and resurrection, and the hope of his coming again. It shows forth the Lord's death until his return. The Lord's table is a time of or for reflective worship, a time which is a redeclaration and a testimony of one's faith in Christ, portrayed by taking of the elements. Yes, our faith in him, that we have made that Romans 10, 9, and 10 sincere declaration that Jesus is our Lord. It is a time of remembrance, an act of worship by which we are to remember and count on the worth and meaning of the person and work of our Lord as the source of our salvation, both for this life, yes, this abundant life, and the life to come, eternal life, John 3:16. Yes, the Lord's Supper, the communion supper, is an expression of a relationship of harmony and oneness of mind in love, in values, in principles, in commitment, and vision that should exist in the body of Christ. We are citizen of the kingdom of God, and we are a community of believers. And yes, lastly, it is an expression of fellowship, a koinonia. It is a time when together, as we take the elements, we are demonstrating our common faith, commitment, concerns, love, and devotion to Christ and the ministry and life to which he has called us to. We see that right there in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Yes, the ministry, what we as followers of Christ must do. He said, Jesus, in verse 18, Jesus came to them and said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go to the people of all nations and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to do everything I have told you. I will be with you always, even until the end of the world. We must keep in mind, yes, this is worship. This is a part of worship when we come to the Lord's table. And this morning, he is our host. Let us now take the bread. The bread represents, as he said in his word, his body. Let us eat. Now let us take the fruit of the vine. Let us drink. It represents the shed blood for the remission of our sins. Jesus paid a debt that we owed that we could not pay. For us to be able to say, those who have made the Romans 10, 9, and 10 sincere declaration, for us to have a new identity, identity that says we are forgiven, an identity that says we are redeemed, an identity that says that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Let us drink. Brother Al.
At last and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die. Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen.
May the grace of God and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now and forever. Let us all say amen. Amen. Yes. Thank each of you for joining with us on today. Amen.
Amen. Have a blessed rest of your day.
Amen. Amen.